Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. We saw another round of Bundesliga action wrap up today. Leipzig taking on Köln. Leipzig winning by 4-2. Here to reflect on that game with me, Shaq Hirstock, Craig Burley, and we'll start with Yanar Fjortoff. Leipzig putting on a bit of a show again. They're fun to watch, that is for sure.
They're a great team to watch, and they have one of the most promising managers, as you know, Julian Nagelsmann. Although Köln took the lead, they got some good goal scorers in their team as well. But then RB Leipzig just went over them. They came back, Köln, at 3-2, but it was straight away. They went up and scored the next goal. So that was a great win of RB Leipzig. As you're saying, slowly they're taking the position as maybe, and I think that must be the next goal now, to be the main challenge to Bayern Munich, because Dortmund showed in the week that they will have trouble doing it again.
It was quite a hectic second half in particular, Craig.
Yeah, it was. And the thing is, with Leipzig, they as entertaining as they are going forward, they will always, I think, give you chances at the other end. And we saw that with the Köln goals. We saw that with the chance with Modeste at the end that he missed. He may or may not have been offside. So they do play a kind of open game at times. But this fight is on for the Champions League places. It's condensed now. We know Bayern Munich are probably going to win the league, but for a technicality at the moment. And so it's a bun fight for the Champions League places. And to go back to Jan's point, the problem with challenging Bayern Munich, and I know it's something we'll probably talk on at some point, is other clubs coming in to pilfer your best players. And I think that's a big problem, that, and your manager as well, by the way. So I think that's a huge issue for them going forward.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But first, let's reflect on Leipzig a little more, Shaka. 16-1 to win the Champions League. Let's not forget they're in the last eight after that two-legged victory against Spurs. Would you go anywhere near that?
No. Listen, 16-1, albeit in the last eight, is you know, decent odds for RB Leipzig. But I think everybody touched on how good they are going forward. I think part of that excitement and their Achilles heel is their youth. I just don't see them winning this. I not even the longest of shots.
Jan?
Well, RB Leipzig, I think for those of us who love both the Premier League and the Bundesliga, I think that RB Leipzig showing Tottenham, Bayern Munich showing Chelsea in the Champions League, well, that was a kind of wake-up call for some Premier League fans. Having said that, I mean, I like the philosophy of Red Bull, what they're doing. They always look for, if you go through that team, you will know about Werner, you know about Sabitzer because he played well against Tottenham, and then you will start struggling how many players you know in this team. So I like the philosophy of RB Leipzig. They have a way of playing that they will, they are under threat in Germany because of the Red Bull connection and that 51 ownership kind of thing in Germany, but it's a great team to watch, and let's see how many players they will keep now in the summer.
They're the team though you'd want, isn't it, Craig, though, in the quarterfinals?
Yeah, and you know, and Jan's correct, they easily disposed of Tottenham, and Bayern Munich did so of Chelsea, but I don't think it's a reflection on the Premier League. And I said that at the time. Bayern are Germany's top team by quite a way. And Chelsea are clearly not at the moment. And in terms of RB Leipzig, they were just too good for a pretty poor Tottenham side. We've discussed Tottenham since Mourinho took over, and they've been one step forward and two step backwards. So I think this Leipzig side, if they went in against the real big boys and they were up to speed, I think would just be left a little bit exposed. And I don't see them getting anywhere. If this competition finds its way all the way to the end, I don't think they'll be there or thereabouts.
Meanwhile, Jan, it was your post-match interview, wasn't it, with Timo Werner, talking about his future, where there was no real secret, the fact that Liverpool, very high on his priority when it comes to his career. Suggestions are, though, that Chelsea are looking to intervene and persuade him to go to London instead. The big factor being is saying, look, if you come to Chelsea, we can offer you a place in the starting 11. Liverpool can't guarantee that, Jan.
Well, first of all, I'm impressed if Chelsea knows the strategy of Liverpool Football Club. That is point one. And secondly, it's right. I was doing that interview with Werner, and I couldn't believe it, how open he was, that he wanted to play for Liverpool. But I think we should say he wants to play for Klopp. And we know that they have been talking. We know that they have used Zoom or Skype or whatever they've used. They've talked to each other in this corona time. So let's see what's happening. I think that the financial situation after corona is anyone's guess. That Chelsea waiting out to buy players are interested in getting Timo Werner, that is not a surprise. I can see them trying to tempt him going there. I think it's quite clear that Timo Werner this summer will leave RB Leipzig. And Bayern have said, we don't want him. And then he said, I don't want to go to Bayern. And then forward and back. So I can see him moving abroad. And I think still the favourite will be Liverpool. But Chelsea, Manchester United, there are teams in for him that will probably also try to get him.
Craig, how much of a factor would it be, though, if you couldn't be guaranteed playing time? You couldn't guarantee a place in the starting 11. Yes, Liverpool obviously are a much better prospect than Chelsea at the moment, but surely as a player you want to play.
But you want to back yourself as a player as well, and you want to, you know, you'll have a manager there in Klopp who will be very enthusiastic in trying to sell the platform to him. Look, it clearly, you know, when the three of us played, it was you played on a Saturday, you played on a Wednesday, you expected to play on a Saturday again if you were playing well enough. And that just continued. If you got told you were left out the side, you knew it wasn't for a resting purpose. You were dropped. But the game has changed, and the game is now about squads, and you've got to have a deep squad and a quality squad. And I think Klopp can sell this to Timo Werner that, you know, Sadio Mane and Mo Salah and Roberto Firmino, who've carried the load for Liverpool, are not going to play 50, 60 games a year going forward. So in that sense, Liverpool is a great place to go from. I'm not surprised Chelsea would be interested. He fits, he ticks every box for Chelsea. He can play wide. They've got wide players. I know that. He can play through the middle. He works hard. His movement is good. He presses the ball when he's not got it. It absolutely makes sense for them. But if I had a choice at the moment and the manager was selling with the club and the club was on the top of its game, then it's Liverpool. And then you back yourself for game time.
Shaq?
Yeah, listen, I understand Chelsea's approach, and I think it's a correct one in trying to tempt him away from the clutches of Liverpool, offer him game time. Every single player wants to be assured of that starting position. I think the difference here, and Jan mentioned, is in Jurgen Klopp and how good he has been with relating to players. And if he can somehow sell this to Werner, then it makes perfect sense. Sell it in the sense that you've got a starting three who right now will be the preferred three, whether Werner comes in or not. But they're all similarly aged. They can't play the amount of football that maybe they once did, or you expect Liverpool to be playing in this upcoming season. And Werner will get a healthy share of games and of the big games. And then come next season, then you figure he's going to grow on those numbers and he's going to be better established. And as Craig rightly points out, pound for pound, club for club, it's an easy answer. It's Liverpool.
Now, on yesterday's show, we talked about the number of tributes that were made to George Floyd by a number of players within the Bundesliga. We saw Weston McKennie, Jadon Sancho, Hakimi and Thuram as well. It's taken a strange development over the last 24 hours. This is what the German FA Control Committee chairman, Anton Nikleiner, had to say. The DFB control body will attend to this issue in the coming days and examine the facts accordingly. Now, that's talking about these tributes made by these players. Oliver Kahn, in response to that, of course, now a Bayern Munich board member, said, players should state their opinions on various societal themes. I wish that the players would take such responsibility more often because we all know the effect they have. Meanwhile, Union Berlin CEO Oliver Runyard came out and said, if the DFB's control committee investigates this, we must ask if we still have the same values. It's about a global theme. Say no to racism. Jan, what's the German FA doing here?
Following their rules. I mean, that is the cynical answer to that. I think that I've talked to three different sport directors in Germany. They are 100% behind the players, 100%. As the Union Berlin's Herr said, this is great values. I mean, football should be more used, and we should have the big governing bodies of this world stop with these unbelievable bad fines for crowds around Europe who are making monkey sounds to players. It's a disgrace. And then we have players like Sancho or Hakimi or Thuram and McKennie. What are they doing? I'm so proud of being a part of football when I see these players. But the German FA, they have a set of rules and they have will put them into investigation. I just want to say that in 2014, we had the same incident with Anthony Udja, who is now playing with Union Berlin. He played for Köln. And he said something with Eric Garner when we had that situation in the USA. Mm-hmm. They investigated it. And he just got a warning. And I think that's what the same thing will happen here. The German FA, of course, understand there is no way in the world that we can punish these players.
Shaq?
Yeah, listen, I totally agree. I understand the German FA having rules around messages and on shirts. And probably the easy out for them is just to have a blanket law covering any message and banning any message, because you don't want people taking that liberty into their own hands and portraying messages that don't reflect well either on the club or the league. But while you're a league that competes under the UEFA umbrella and under the FIFA umbrella, and FIFA continues to brandish the note of racism on so much of their own paraphernalia, and that is their overarching message, I don't understand how a message expressing exactly that, customized to the topic of the day, can somehow run afoul of exactly those rules. Now, I understand that the FA has to kind of go through his machinations as well and come up with whatever conclusion they will. But even a warning at this point, with an issue as popular, as well supported, and speaks to as many people globally as it does, this is best for the German FA. This is best for football, that we as players can use these platforms to move these big societal issues of the day forward. Football can lead, and it should.
Meanwhile, of course, it's been interesting to watch what's been going on the last 3 months regarding Bayern Munich and their open flirtation with Leroy Sané. I just want to bring up to date what has happened over the last 48 hours. You had the Bayern Munich president. Now, Herbert Heiner coming out and saying it's been known for a year now that we have been interested in Leroy Sané. He's still under contract with Manchester City. We have to see how things develop. He's also a marketable player, especially for the young demographic. Now, obviously, Herbert Heiner has taken charge of the role that was previously held by Uli Hoeneß. This is what he had to say this weekend. I believe that we're on the threshold of a relatively great generation. We managed to extend with Neuer, and we have Kimmich, Sula, Lewandowski, and hopefully Alaba and Alcantara agreeing contracts. And I also hope with Leroy Sané, with Koeman, and with Gnabry, a young, developable team, we would certainly like to have Kai Havertz, but at the moment, no one knows what the economic future of football is. I'd like to see him in Munich from a sporting perspective, but as of today, I honestly cannot imagine it, although I would like to see it. Jan, let's just start off, shall we, with Leroy Sané. Isn't this just flagrant tapping up? Does that exist anymore? Is that a thing?
Well, in Germany, they just speak about everything, don't they? And Bayern Munich, you know, you are old enough to remember the Muppet Show. And in Muppet Show, you have these two old men in the balcony. In Munich, there are four or five of them. And they just come out and they are president of honor and they get their platform and they're sitting everywhere talking about players. I think that now with Salihamidzic and Kahn, you've got a new generation that used to play poker, and they understand that maybe you shouldn't be so open about the player you want if you want them for the right price. I can tell you 100% that Sané and Havertz are on wish list of Bayern Munich. Will they get them? I don't know. But this is just a game. They will and have to go after the best German players, and Bayern Munich will do, because, for example, with Werner, first they said, we can't fit him in. Then Hans Flick came and said, well, we can fit him in. And then Werner said, I don't want to go to Bayern. So that was the soap opera of Bayern Munich. And I love that club because it's Muppet meeting the soap opera.
If you haven't seen the Muppets, maybe you're a little younger. Just imagine Stevie and Craig sitting in the balcony of a theatre. And I think that pretty much sums it up quite nicely. Craig, this is blatant, isn't it? And Jan makes a great point. If you're Manchester City, I'm going to add another 10 million to this deal if they're so interested in our player.
Well, someone better tell you, and he's working with a bunch of Muppets now. We're working with us on this show. But, you know, the one thing is, you know, it has been flirtation with this player for quite a while, and it looks like it will happen. I think the player wants to go himself. I think City have sort of resigned themselves in some sense to that happens if they get the the financial rewards for it. But Jan's absolutely correct. This is a club where they have some individuals that if Real Madrid come out and said, oh, we really would like to get Robert Lewandowski, and Barcelona said, oh, we wouldn't mind Thiago and so forth and so forth. They would be raging. They would be saying, this is a disgrace. How can you be talking about an unsettling, the world's best number nine? And ultimately, that's what they're doing with some of the younger players at weaker clubs who haven't got the financial stability that Bayern or the clout that Bayern have. And that's unfortunately how this regime, maybe on its way out at some point, but this current regime has operated. They've gone in, they've pilfered, they've been very public about it. And that's ultimately why they've won, what is it, 8 Bundesliga titles in a row or thereabouts, because, you know, that's how they've done their business.
We were talking, Jan, before the show, and how I was going to put this question without sounding whiny, but it's difficult to come across for anything but. But it isn't fair, is it? It isn't good for German football. It isn't good for football in general. I know we've seen it over the years so many times, not necessarily just in the Bundesliga, where Bayern Munich, as Craig can say, can just come in, peel for the best players, bish, bash, bosh, win another title.
Well, it's not that easy. It's not that easy, Dan. I mean, Bayern are doing a great job as well. They are attracting the big sponsors. They have the way they're playing at the moment. And mind you, if you have a look at the team, they're getting younger as well. But that has been a strategy, and Craig was into us as well. There's been a strategy. When Werder Bremen did well, they went in and bought their best players. They did the same with Götze, Hummels, Lewandowski from Dortmund. But I mean, we can't make German football better when Bayern get worse. I mean, the German clubs like Dortmund, RB Leipzig, Leverkusen, Gladbach, then they need to get better. That is sport. So if not, we go back to Soviet Union and just decide which team should win the league and the cup and get to European places. So then they have to improve the other teams.
You're absolutely right, Jan. You're absolutely right. It's up to the others to try and get better. It's no different in Scotland. Over the years, Celtic and Rangers, when there was a good quality Scottish player about, went and bought the best players from Hearts and Dundee United and Aberdeen. In England, it happens the same. So it's not Bayern's duty to not go and get the best players. But I think there is a sense of the way they go about it and the arrogance they go about it in terms of the public flirtation is slightly frustrating. Listen, Hoeneß is right in one thing. They've started to phase out the old guard. We saw Ribery go. We saw Robin go. There have been others. We saw Hummels go back to Dortmund. They've got Gnabry in, who's doing great. They've got Coleman in, who's doing great. Kimmich obviously is having a great season as a midfielder. They're going down this youthful route of buying younger players, and that is absolutely the correct strategy to do. But I think what irks people is the arrogance in how they just say, oh, so-and-so is a very good player at that club. I think we'll have him. Because they really don't like it when somebody tries to do that to them. That's the only issue I've got, not with Bayern trying to make themselves better.
But Jan, the onus, obviously, as you quite rightly say, it's on the other teams to make themselves better, to really push Bayern Munich. But, for example, if you're Bayer Leverkusen, how can you do that if you've got Bayern coming in and sweeping and buying Kai Havertz in the summer?
You could do exactly the same thing that Manchester United did with Cristiano Ronaldo. They said to Cristiano Ronaldo, if you stay one more year and do your business, next year we will sell you to Real Madrid. Exactly what Leverkusen did to Kai Havertz. Even last year, everybody wanted him. He's staying, he's playing well, he's scoring his goals. That's how it's done. Craig is right. I mean, Uli Hoeneß was 27 when he took over that club. And they got the 51 rule in Germany, meaning that the members got to own 51% of the club. But Bayern Munich, the last 40 years, and I love that guy because he is arrogant, as he is a kind of Sopranos kind of guy. I'm in love with Uli Hoeneß. They are owned 100% by Uli Hoeneß the last 40 years. And I think, although he's now said to Heiner, you can be my crown prince, but he will be the royal king, and he will always come with statements. And that's why we love to watch German football, because that's why Sportbild, Kicker and Bild Zeitung got like 80 pages every day about football in Germany.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. We go full-on Muppet Show, by the way, on today's Extra Time. Shaka, Stevie and Craig. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We've talked a lot, haven't we, over the last few months about this clause in Lionel Messi's contract that means he could leave for free at the end of the season. Well, Sam Marsden and Moise Lorena have been writing about it over on the website. That, apparently, according to sources, has expired. Let's welcome in Sid Lowe, shall we, to discuss this. Is that true, Sid? That's it? It's done? He can't leave for free, even though he probably wasn't going to?
Well, that's the thing, is it? Is this thing that probably wasn't going to happen now not going to happen? Well, yes, this thing that probably wasn't going to happen is now not going to happen. I must admit, this has passed me by. In so far as we knew that this was the date, we knew that it was the 1st of June. But luckily, Sam and Moy were on the case. And actually, Gab Marcotti was this morning. He said to me on the podcast, "Oh, so Messi's now not able to go." I was like, "Oh, yeah, that's right." So, yes, it's gone. The problem is resolved, at least for another year. I suppose we'll have these discussions again as next year kind of looms into view. But for the time being, at least, it's all resolved. And I guess it was inevitable that it would be, if only because focus is elsewhere at the moment.
However, Lionel Messi will definitely return to action for Barcelona. We know now the first game away against Mallorca. Now, for people maybe who are new to Spain or La Liga overall, they'll look at the kickoff time and think 10 p.m. at night. That's ridiculous. That wouldn't really happen any other place in the world in any other sport. But I imagine in Spain, no one's even raising an eyebrow.
No, it's not problematic at all. Now, partly because 10 p.m. at night is not that late, particularly in the summer. You know, culturally, it's not so late. Secondly, because a big part in the decision making at this time of the year. I mean, in the back end of the season, normally you get the last 2 or 3 weeks of games looking very carefully at temperature in terms of kickoff time. The first few games of the season, which are in August, the same thing happens. They're played as late as possible to try and avoid the heat of the day. So you'll notice that the earlier games tend to be the ones that are played in the north of the country where it's cooler. And then the other part of this, of course, is that the one problem, or the one really significant problem at least, with late kickoff times is people going to games. So if you're going to a game at 10 o'clock at night, particularly if it's in the winter, it's different, of course, if it's in the summer. It's not just that the game finishes just before midnight, so you've got to get home. Maybe children have got to go to school the next day. But, of course, nobody is going to these games. So that part of this problem is removed. So in that sense, yeah, you can set a game at 10 o'clock. And it is true that people look at it and think, that's quite late. But it's not a big deal for anyone. And I can't stress this enough. 10 o'clock for a kickoff time is prime time on TV. This isn't late. This isn't people going, "Oh, not sure if I'm going to stay up for this." This is people having their dinner and watching the game at the same time.
Short and sweet for you today, Sid. Thank you very much for your time. Just a reminder, these are how things stand. As La Liga set to return on June the 11th. Barca 2 points clear at the top of the table. Now, for more from Sid, he was a special guest on the Gab and Jules podcast. And yes, Marcotti actually let him speak more than himself. So be sure to check that out. You can download that over on the website. Meanwhile, over there as well, Jeff Carlisle's been working really hard over the weekend following this story very closely regarding the return of action in MLS and the discussions that are going on at the moment between the players and the owners. The players are on the brink of a lockout at the moment. However, we're expecting a response from the owners over the next couple of days. We'll, of course, be keeping you up to date with that situation as it develops here on the show tomorrow.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Napa know-how.
Father's Day knickknacks. That funny mug, ironic tie, or worse, IOU coupon books. It's time to get yourself something you want, Dad, like a Craftsman half-inch corded impact wrench for $99.99. It's the perfect gift to give to yourself. And while you're here, don't forget to shop all our great deals on Craftsman tools. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer ends 6/30/20.
Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you, show. Thank you very much to Sid and to Jan. Stay tuned, though. Shaka, Stevie and Craig on Extra Time. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Shaka Hislop, Craig Burley and Stevie Nicol with me. Stevie, the first question is for you. Are you still celebrating Liverpool's Champions League win? It was this time last year, Stevie. You were in the bowels of a karaoke bar singing You'll Never Walk Alone.
Yeah, and you were standing next to me singing You'll Never Walk Alone also.
I believe I was filming the occasion, no, Stephen.
Well, you're very talented, Dan. You can do more than one thing at a time.
But, yeah.
Unfortunately, the shine of Liverpool's Champions League win last year has been... The shine has been slightly taken off considering they lost... And this year's Champions League to Atletico Madrid, so it has been put to bed.
So you now accept they're not head and shoulders above everybody else in Europe?
I never said a word.
What, you said you're that last week. You said that on last week's
as
show.
As usual.
On last
as
week's
usual,
show.
You're making up stuff to suit yourself.
Last week's and show, last you week's said they were head and shoulders above everybody else in Europe.
That would be correct. A correct statement.
But you just admitted that the shine's been taken off them and... Well, they lost to Atleti.
I'll tell you what then. So actually, Scotland did win the World Cup then. Because when England won the World Cup, the next game Scotland beat them. So does that mean that we're now World Cup holders? a wee tube.
Is it...
you're not wanting to answer that one, are you? Well, that doesn't suit you to answer that one.
Doesn't make any sense.
Well, it makes complete sense. Because they lost a tie doesn't mean that they're not still better than anybody else. Just because they lost a tie. If you went and asked every other team right now, if you went and asked every other team on the planet right now, who's the one team you wouldn't want to play? And they would all probably say
Atletico
Liverpool.
Madrid.
So, there. There's how it makes sense.
Stevie, tell him I just finished his book.
But I don't...
Thoroughly enjoyed it. And can you ask him if he's going to contribute to Twitter again?
I'm very pleased he enjoyed it. But there will be absolutely zero chance of me going back on Twitter. Probably for my own
good. I tell you what, Dan. I told him this today, but he has... People should stand by because he has got a new book coming out. It's 101 ways to leave a pot shop. Also, how to use the anchor putter properly when all the straps are hanging off it. I mean, that's another one.
Craig, you're going to have to post a picture of his putter.
Oh, yeah, well, next time we're out, I'll take it out of the bag and we'll have a little picture of it.
Okay, this is going to be interesting. Shaq, I'm going to start with you. Is there something you've seen in the Bundesliga that surprised you now you're watching it closer?
Like what? What's supposed to surprise you?
Well, that's
you?
The
what's
question.
What surprised you, Stephen?
Dan, I think... Joshua Kimmich has surprised me. I think I said the other day. I thought he was all right, but he's actually surprised me how, for me anyway, since the Bundesliga started up, he's the man carrying Bayern for me. He seems to be doing it all.
Craig,
the atmosphere.
Shaka, are you 6'6" or 6'4"? Sources cite you at being different heights.
I am 6'4". For some reason, when I first started playing in England, they listed me as 6'6". £196. I've never been 6'6". And the last time I was 196 pounds, I was probably 16 or 17 years old.
No, they didn't list you at 6'6". You were always 6'4", but 6'6" is the height you can jump. So you've got a good 2 inches, didn't you?
thanks for clearing that up, Craig.
Oh, my.
Shaka, why is the crew so messy biased?
Why is the crew so messy biased? I don't know. Is the crew messy biased? You're a bit Real Madrid biased. Aside from that, I think everybody else is just neutral.
Everyone is neutral. Did you hear what Stevie just said about Liverpool?
Well,
when it comes to the Messi-Ronaldo debate is what I'm talking about. Because when you mention Messi, you somehow have to shoehorn Ronaldo into the very same discussion.
Stevie, can you tell us about the hat-trick that you scored against Newcastle in the 1987-1988 season?
Oh. Wow. My goodness. Do you want the short version? Well, I actually scored 4 in that game. It should have been 4. For some reason, 1 was disallowed. So I was given 1 in the first half, which should have been 2. I chipped a goalkeeper, and somehow the linesman said that John Aldridge was offside on the far side, which was impossible. And then the second half, I scored 2. 1 was a complete and utter tap-in from, maybe 10 inches. No question, Moreno range. And then my third, my hat-trick goal was a little dink over a goalkeeper who came diving out of my feet, and I just dinked it over him. And actually, a little note to that, that day I was supposed to be giving my sister away in a place called Arran in Scotland. She was getting married. Unfortunately, the game was changed to a Sunday from the Saturday. And that's why I couldn't get to the wedding. But there you go, I scored a hat-trick on the day. That must have been just for her.
Beautiful. Final question. What's worse, being booed by fans of your club or the national team? That takes us nicely. We talked about this yesterday and we thought we'd just show it in all detail. A Chelsea fan's Twitter set up the most hated Chelsea players in their history of the club. Craig, straight through the group stages, actually, was second, but then stormed in the knockout rounds and was only beaten by Chris Sutton in the final. A lot of people, though, saying that they purposely voted for Chris Sutton because they knew that Craig would have enjoyed it if he'd won this whole thing.
Yeah, somebody said...
Correct.
Yeah. Somebody said, I'm not voting for Bully because he wants to win, so I'm just voting for Sutton. Chris won it, you know, probably Chris won it because he's still in the UK and he's still annoying people a bit more than me, I don't know. But I was, it was unsurprising. I tell you what, I performed great, as you said, in the group stages. I mean, I topped the groups. I saw off Andy Townsend, I saw off Gordon Jury, somebody saw off Thibaut Courtois. Oh, we belted them all out the park. And then it was down to Chris and me in the final. And as I said to you yesterday, I had my victory speech all written out. All my family were coming to the event, everything, and I came up a little short, which was rather disappointing. And as I said to somebody on Twitter weeks ago, I'm going to have to up my game.
Yeah.
And he said to me, if you'd upped your game 20 years ago, you wouldn't be on this list. There you go.
That's a bad comeback, actually.
Well, it is because it's a bit of a stupid comeback because it's nothing to do with when I, as you well know, it's got absolutely zero to do. I had no problem with Chelsea fans until I went into broadcasting. Let that be a story to you.
Being booed by your fans or the national team's fans, Craig? Which was worse?
Well, I wasn't, to my knowledge, booed by the national team fans. I might have got the odd, but I don't know. But not universally booed. Gary McAllister was at one. And I played in a game where Gary McAllister was booed at Celtic Park when Hampden has been renovated. And we lost to the Czech Republic. And it wasn't too long after he'd missed the penalty at Wembley against England, which anybody can do. And then he was the captain. He started taking the brunt for the performance, which was absolutely crazy. And that wasn't nice to hear that. So I would say maybe, I don't know, it's a difficult one. Maybe the national fans, I don't know. See what the boys think.
Liverpool fans, Liverpool players had a strange relationship, didn't they? Some of them, Stevie, with the Scotland national team.
Yeah, particularly Alan Hansen. Used to get absolute dogs abuse. I mean, even when he wasn't in the 18 sitting on that were part of the team on the field and on the bench, even when he was in the stand, people would give him stick in the stand. You know, if he was sat on the bench and he had to go and warm up for some reason, he got absolute dogs abuse. I mean, it was just horrendous. There's a bit of an Anglo bias with the fans in Scotland. You know, if you play in England for some reason, it's I can't work it out. It's almost held against you.
You were deemed to be coming back on Scottish football, weren't you?
It kind of felt. I just don't understand where it came from, though. And it happens. It happened to everybody. You know. The Scotland fans. The national team's the only crowd I can ever remember that I was part of a team that got booed. Particularly one fantastic performance against San Marino away. It was 0-0 at half time. We'd hardly the short of goal. And we were playing in an absolute shocker of a stadium, and all our fans were right next to where the changing rooms were. So when we had to go back in at half time, we had to go pretty much right through the middle of them, and we got absolute dogs abuse, I can assure you.
There is a bit of an angle, just for those people that are not out there to what Stevie said. You know, not just the fans, but certain sections of the media. I remember playing in a game in Brussels against Belgium and a qualifier, which we lost 2-0. And at least one of the journalists, if not more, the line was, the biggest disappointments in the game were those players from the much vaunted Premier League. So there's almost a kind of, well, you know, those guys are playing in this Premier League that's supposed to be the greatest, and they've let us down. And there has always been sort of that side to it, which can be difficult sometimes.
Just to go on what Craig said, listen, probably the greatest Scottish football player of all time, he regularly got that from the media. Every single time Kenny Dalglish stepped on the field for Scotland, it didn't matter what he did. There was always one on them would write that, well, Dalglish, he does this and that for Liverpool, but never quite manages it for Scotland. I mean, just a ridiculous bias for some reason. And it certainly started with the media, and some of the fans jumped on it.
Final word to you, Shaq.
Well, playing for Trent, a bigger national team. Well, not that I've never been booed. I've never seen anybody booed. We just, culturally, our fan base don't get on the players in that way. They'll see you and there'll be banter outside of the stadium or individually, but as a crowd, generally, we don't boo. We're pretty supportive during the course of a game. So, to answer the question, had I been booed in play with the national team, that would have had a far bigger effect on me than representing club, just because to be booed playing for Trinidad and Tobago, you had to be really, really bad.
Thank you very much, gents. Just a reminder, ESPN FC returns to your screens tomorrow. You can keep your tweets coming in at ESPN FC.